Yes, greetings to you all. This is Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. We'd like to just wish God's blessing upon your lives. Obviously, if you are calling in, there is a hunger there for God's word. And I just want to bless you and thank you for seeking God. I believe that the blood of Jesus is still crying out as Abel's blood that was spilled on the ground, cried out for justice. And I do believe that the blood of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as it spilled there on the ground, as his body was broken and bruised for our iniquities and our sins, and as his blood spilled there on the ground, I do believe that his blood cried out for justice. And the only way that his blood will get justice is if people respond to him, is if people acknowledge what happened and acknowledge their sin and acknowledge that they need a Savior and acknowledge that they need an atonement and a sacrifice for their sin and acknowledge that the blood of Jesus is the only way to be clean and to be made whole and to be recognized as a saint. And to come into the presence of God. And so I just want to bless you. If you are in that place of seeking, if you are hungering after God, I want to thank you for that. I'd like to continue here a bit. I'd like to switch over to Revelation 17. I had some thoughts yesterday on Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 was written over the time of the captivity of Israel as they were in Babylon. Now, Revelation was written 2,000 years ago, many years after the captivity and the return of the Jews. And yet it has much of the same language. If you read Jeremiah 51 and then switch over and read Revelation 17, it's almost like you're reading the same story. It has many parallels. And yet, so I am of the persuasion that some of the Old Testament prophecies of judgment and other things sort of come into effect again and again. It seems it follows that trend that there's many repetitive fulfillments of prophecies. It seems like a certain prophecy can be fulfilled a number of times throughout the course of history. And so that's why I'm of the persuasion that the prophecy that was laid upon Babylon will be repeated in end times because of this prophecy in Revelation 17. And it reads here, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of the blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And actually, I'm going to skip ahead here. I'd like to focus now on chapter 18. It says here, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with light and with glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And if you read here in the cross reference, there it often refers to Jeremiah 51. I'm sorry, I think I actually had said Revelation 17 crosses over a lot to Jeremiah 51. I had meant to say Revelation 18. So it's talking about much of the same things, and it's talking about coming out of her, and it's talking about her living deliciously, meaning very wealthy, and it's talking about that she will be widowed to no one. In other words, what that means, verse 7 here in Revelation 18, how much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. And you know, I can't help but wonder, America is the leader of the world. It is the great power of the world at this time. And there is when the Twin Towers fell, if you read here, verse 10, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. And it's talking about verse 15, the merchants of these things that are made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And there was a newspaper article when the Twin Towers fell. There was a newspaper article that actually had almost identical words in this, saying that there was ships out on the Atlantic Ocean watching the Twin Towers burn. And it said how that they marveled, these ships had people that were coming to trade in the World Trade Center. They were coming to trade all kinds of things. And here's a list of things here, just all kinds of things that were traded. You know, in verse 12, it says the merchants of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen. That's basically saying all the expensive things that were traded in the World Trade Center. And it's, even though this might come, this might not be exactly the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers might not be exactly what this scripture is talking about, but I'm saying there's a lot of parallels, and it could be that it's talking somewhat of that, but also maybe more of the same scenarios that might happen in the future. But for now, I'd just like to bring out here that there's lots of things that are the same and for our consideration. It says that whatever this is going to come, is going to bring, be destroyed in 1 hour, and that is exactly the time length that it took for the Twin Towers to collapse, 1 hour. And obviously it was supposed to happen right beside the sea, and that is also what stands out here. The other thing that that I would like to bring out here once again, as was pointed out yesterday, that this whore will commit fornication with, there's something about this whore that will influence the whole world. And so I would like to present a plea to consider that what that might mean is the whole age that we live in, where modesty is thrown by the wayside. Things like, you know, some of the long-standing traditions like women being in submission to men. Is America was a leader in the woman rights movement, where women rise up and want to be equal in society, and the whole Hollywood age where people pursue fame, riches, popularity, where modesty is thrown out, where self is lifted up, and self is worshipped, and self is indulged upon. And would just like to say, as I was talking about in yesterday's message, that how that is spreading around all the nations of the world through the influence of American culture is penetrating many countries today, and it's been that way for the last 30 years. I just saw it in India when I was over there. I saw the traditional Indian culture, their traditional way of dressing was actually quite modest, and I saw American, you know, scantily dressed, form-fitting clothing, and I saw that. I saw the original traditional Indian clothing being replaced by that, and it was interesting that even the cycles, a lot of the older Indian ladies would ride the cycles sideways, that they would not straddle their cycles with their legs. They would ride it sideways, like you'd see sometimes people, women would ride horses that way with both legs on the one side. And I noticed that immediately when the new clothing came in, that they would ride their cycles that way. And you might think, you know, it's a small thing, but I couldn't help but it stood out to me how it seemed like the ladies who were modest and who were quiet and they rode on the back of the cycles and left their husbands drive. And it was actually a beautiful picture. Sometimes they were holding a child, but they were sitting sideways on their bicycles, very feminine. Whereas then some of the younger generation, they would ride their, you know, they would be dressed American style and would ride their cycles. And you could just see that spirit of pride that was coming in. And even though those camps, were not Christian. I'm not lifting up that these people that dressed in the traditional Indian way were Christians, not at all. I'm just saying how that society is being broken down by American influence there. And I'm just here to say I'm not trying to bring out, I'm not an anti-American by no means. I'm just putting in a plea here that these things were on my heart, and I just wanted to pass them on, that we need to be careful. The Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And I'm just putting in a plea to us as Christians to remember that to just be a step more holy than what we see around us will probably fall short because the standard is so low as we observe around us. There's such an indulgence, a lifting up of self and pride that as we look around, and it will not get any better, I don't believe, as we face end times. And I have a burden that we consider the words of Christ and take serious his words, because God's words does not change, and his standards will be the same forever. And I believe that God is preparing his bride, and the Lord Jesus is, the day of the Lord Jesus is coming closer and closer every day. And I believe it's well worth every effort to put in that we have to humble ourselves and to seek the Lord afresh and to be serious about keeping ourselves pure and unspotted and to run and to come out of the, of Babylon, come out that we be not partakers of her plagues. Is the plea that God is saying here in these verses. So God bless you. I wish you the Lord's blessings as you read these chapters and as you reflect on what God is saying to each and all of us.